AI and gaming is an interesting space. I think if you look at the history of media, we kind of like the earliest was we had like books and some art. And then later we kind of developed movies. And then I think games have really been like the last kind of like form of media to develop just because they required computers, like video games, and much more complexity. And I think we're going to see a similar kind of path with AI. Like we saw AI take off with kind of like text and then images. And now like video is the thing that's like really developing. And I think we're still really early days because games are such a much more technically complex thing to make. But I think over the next 5 to 10 years, you're going to see AI games really take off, just as we saw happen with other types of media. So I think there's a lot of exciting things to see and a lot of opportunities to drive value for players.
Welcome to ODSE's AIX podcast, your gateway to the latest in AI and data science. Whether you're an aspiring data scientist or a seasoned AI professional, we bring you insights from the best minds in the field, shaping the future of AI. This episode is sponsored by ODSE West, the premier AI builders conference celebrating its 10th year this October 28th to 30th in San Francisco and virtually. Learn more at odsc.com/California and use the code podcast for an exclusive 10% discount. Hello, everyone. Today we are joined by Nick Walton, the CEO of Latitude, which designs unique, immersive virtual experiences with cutting-edge machine learning technology. You can check out their generative AI game, AI Dungeon, for free today. My name is Alex, and I'm the head of content here at ODSE. First of all, why don't you tell me a bit more about yourself and your background, specifically in the realms of AI and gaming?
Yeah, awesome. Great to be here. Yeah, I've always been a gamer, and didn't think I would end up in games. I originally was working on machine learning, doing perception for self-driving cars. And in 2019, this new model came out called GPT-2, which for the first time could tell stories in this dynamic way. And I'd recently started playing D&D and loved the kind of creative freeform expression that you can get where you can be anyone. You can make these choices that are not bound by like what a developer pre kind of wrote as your options and how these really cool kind of emergent stories come out of that. So ended up building the first version of what became AI Dungeon at this hackathon, which is this idea of instead of having these kind of preset routes, you can type literally any action and the AI can actually write the story of what happens next. So kind of like an early primitive version of AI Dungeon Master. And the cool thing is not only can it enable this kind of like free choice of doing whatever you ever want to do, but you can create worlds with AI and the AI brings them to life. So it kind of turns Dungeon Masters from having to like constantly like run, you know, everything to be able to just create amazing worlds and have those be brought to life. So anyways, yeah, we launched that at the end of 2019 and it just kind of like took off and we've been steadily building towards that and are just really excited in general. Obviously there's a lot with that can happen in AI and we're really focused on the ways that it'll change gaming. And I think the biggest ways we're excited about are enabling new types of experiences that were never possible before. And also doing that in a way that enables creators to like bring their visions to life in magical ways.
Oh, that's super cool. Yeah, when I did play AI Dungeon a little, it reminded me of the old text-based adventures from early PCs, just with being it's generative. Whereas those old text adventures were kind of, I think, like 3 or 4 choices that branched off.
Exactly.
Before I get too deep into AI Dungeon, I do have a couple of bonus questions that I just thought of. First of all, what is your favorite game?
Probably it is Skyrim. Like, I just love open world RPGs. And the first time playing it, just being able to like explore this massive world with all this amazing content, there's just this magic, magic place in my heart for it.
Oh, that's fair. I replayed it not long ago. Ever since I got a gaming PC, and it's like, wow, there's so much you put hundreds of hours and not even do the story.
Yeah.
And secondly, what is your current D&D class?
I'm usually always either a wizard or an artificer. I feel like those are the classes I most like personally identify with and then end up kind of like manifesting myself as.
That's fair. We always need those because me and my friends kind of, we have to fight over, all right, who's going to be the tank? And it's pretty much all I know how to play. Cool. So you mentioned, you talked a bit about AI Dungeon. So what is the magic behind it? You know, how does it all hold together?
Yeah. So AI Dungeon, I think the underlying magic from a player experience level is, I think all of us as kids instinctually role play. Like we want to, you know, you can see kids, they'll be pirates or they'll be knights or they'll be, you know, teachers or whatever. Like we all as humans, as we grow up, have this instinctual desire to like be someone else and get to live what their life would be like, make different choices, have experiences, you know, imagine experiences that like we don't get in our normal everyday life. So AI Dungeon really enables this in a way that's never been possible before, where you're not just limited by like a few different options of worlds you can imagine. It's like you can literally be anyone and be anything and play that. And the way it works is it is similar to like a kind of chatbot experience where the AI will do some answer, you do some action, the AI says what happens next, but instead of answering some question, it's creating a story together. So the AI will have some opening story, you'll decide what you do as the character, and then the AI will continually tell the story based on your actions. And you kind of have this like story that evolves over time in really interesting ways. And there's a lot we do to like make that fun, like optimizing models and memory systems and like creating a platform where anyone can create and share worlds and define the lore on. But that's kind of the fundamental experience.
Cool. What kind of tools and frameworks do you use that maybe if someone were interested in doing something similar that they should be learning?
Yeah, I think fundamentals are, with AI engineering, I think obviously like the core primitive is like models, right? So like understanding what are different models, what are their pros and cons? So like one of the things that's a challenge with us is a lot of the models are trained to be like hyper smart chatbots who are very helpful. And that, you know, obviously that's great for like a ChatGPT use case, but the problem is for stories, you end up with a couple problems. One is, you know, they're too focused on the right answer rather than having like a wide creative distribution. And that leads to kind of like cliche, where cliche is like, there's always one right answer. There's one like kind of like, you know, default to the average. And what you really want is like a very wide variation. The other is a lot of helper chatbots kind of like steer clear of anything like dangerous or scary or dark. And it's like, and that makes sense. You don't want your chatbot being like threatening you. But in an adventure game, if you're like on the road and like bandits come out and they threaten you, like that's narrative tension. That's like storytelling, right? So the models are one of the core primitives. I think the other is like memory. So how do you store and retrieve memory so that you don't like forget what happened, you know, as your context window runs out? I think we tend to focus on those base primitives because I think from those, you can build everything else on top of them. And we like to have like deeper control. So we don't use a ton of frameworks on top of that.
Oh, that's really cool. So, seems like you have quite a few players already. I think I saw, what was it, 8 million downloads?
Yeah.
That's big. What has some of the feedback been, and how have people been open to an AI game? Like, I know AI in art is a bit controversial in certain ways.
Yeah.
But how have people been reacting to it so far?
Yeah, I think, you know, to touch on the broader space, I think there are a lot of gamers who are very like hesitant about AI. And I think for good reason, because I think a lot of the kind of the initial conversation with traditional gaming is just kind of using AI to replace human content and just do it cheaper. And, you know, it's very obvious why that doesn't appeal to gamers, because they're like, I don't want lower quality work. Like, how does that make my experience better? So I think what's really important is using AI in a way that actually like creates even better experiences than you could have before. And we found that like with our user base, people in that instantly where they're like, oh yeah, this is a game that you could never have created without AI. Like it delivers all this like magic that is not possible. And so I think people have had this like amazing experience of like being able to have these stories that, you know, previously they could have maybe only had in a D&D like experience. But like, you know, you mentioned to me earlier that you really are more of like a single player game person. And so it's like now you can have that without having to, you know, find a bunch of people and get together and role play with them. So those are some of the advantages. There are some things that like, you know, we still see. I think we're really early days in this space, like extremely early days. So the AI Dungeon, some of the things people have seen that we are building into our next engine that we're moving towards release on is, having greater persistence of a world, right? Because I think with a lot of these LLM experiences where people have AI adventure games, it feels kind of like a fever dream, right? And you see the same thing with like the world models with like, if you've seen the Minecraft AI world model, it's like you look and you see a block and you turn around and you turn back and like it's gone, right? I think that's kind of how the experience feels when you just have a model. So I think underneath you need like real structure and persistence to the world. And then you also need challenge and progression in a way that lets you not just feel like you can do anything. Because often ChatGPT, if they're a dungeon master, they'll be like, sure, you can do that. Like, you know, they'll just let you do whatever you want. And I think fun games have like a framework of like realistic constraints and structure that makes it fun and gives you an opportunity to like face some challenge and overcome it. So those are some of the like really cool things, as well as some of the things that I think we're still early on and we need to build out to deliver a better like version of what AI gaming looks like, and will come out in our next engine.
Cool. So what are some of the more interesting experiences or stories that people come up with? Can you share some examples of what people have done in their adventures?
Yeah. So like, I mean, there's all kinds of ones. It's interesting to see what creators make. So like one, especially in the early days, we saw like such a wealth of creativity of things we never would have expected, right? So like there's ones where people would make experiences where like you're not just like characters, but like inanimate objects, right? Like you're a bowl of jello and a human is coming at you to like with a spoon. Like, what do you do? And it's like these kind of like crazy zany experiences where you can like actually like have hilarious stories that come out of that. Or like the flexibility is massive in terms of even doing things like Windows XP boot up, right? Like you're simulating like, you know, crazy weird things like that. Some of my most memorable experiences though have been experiences where I build deep connections to the characters in my world. So like, you know, one of them that was kind of like fun zany is I had this experience where, you know, I'm adventuring the forest and I meet a band of goblins. And like a typical game, you'd be like, I've got to kill the goblins. And like, that's your only option, right? Like, cause they're gonna attack you and you have no other choices. Instead though, I was like, you know, what if I could make friends with them? And I kind of like approach, we start chatting, like we kind of become friendly. And I end up like teaching them how to play musical instruments. We make a band. We end up like touring around the kingdom, performing at festivals, like advocating for like human goblin equality. We got invited to perform for the king. And like, I ended up like writing a book, you know? And it's like these crazy stories you can have where you build like these deep, you know, have like really interesting things happen and build connections with these characters. Another is an example where, and this is in our new engine, is in our new engine, like characters have like these deep backstories. They're taking their own independent actions and they can die, right? So I had this like 10-hour adventure where I like am on the run from this evil like queen who's like oppressing everyone and no one will join me to fight her. They're all too afraid. And I eventually like find this like old kind of robot in a lost arcane workshop. And he initially tries to kill me, but like I managed to like get him on my side. We become friends. His name's Sentinel Prime. And like, we just have like all these experiences over the next like 10 hours of my play where like, he's my only friend. And like, it's in this like bitter, harsh world. And we like get super close through that and have all these like deep interactions. And then, you know, we're in this battle where we almost escape and he dies. And I just remember like the AI at that moment knew to play like sad music and it like hit me really emotionally. Like I was like, wow. My roommate came home and was like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, my robot just died. Like, and it was like this emotional experience that I don't think I've had very often in games where I have this like deep connection. And I think we're seeing this in the broader like AI chatbot space where like people are building a lot of connection with like AI characters for good or bad. But I think we're still so early days because we haven't gotten to the point where you can have like shared experiences with them. And I think with humans, like that's some of the ways you bond the deepest is not just like talking to them, but like going through things together. So I think that's one thing that's going to be really exciting as we kind of progress in AI gaming is the ability to like have these much more compelling interactions and experiences.
Well, that reminds me of a theory for my graduate program of player as the character. The more you relate to the character, or specifically the character that you're using, is the more you'll get emotionally attached to them, which makes a lot of sense if you're playing a JRPG with a very established character and they die, it's like game over. But if you're doing something like Skyrim, it's like, no, this is my self-insert. This is me dying at this point. And especially if you're kind of creating the party members and building up your own universe, you're seeing your own world die.
Yeah.
Versus just like, all right, I'm just going to restart.
Yeah.
You know, and since this, does this game have like backtracking, like save scumming, or is it like, that's it, your robot's dead?
Yeah, we're purposefully focusing not on having, you know, that kind of save scumming as a strong paradigm, because I think in many ways, what the purpose is not to just like win the game, it's to have a compelling story, right? And it's like in D&D, if you just like, you know, like they died. Okay, let's just rewind, you know, like that ruins the like authenticity and meaning of the story, because it makes the experience cheap. And so I think that's something that is important, is to like move forward, because then the experience almost becomes like more meaningful because you went through this loss, right? It's like, now I had this like desire to avenge my like friend who died, and it added this rich layer of depth to the story that like wouldn't be possible if it was just like, oh, never mind, I'm gonna like revert that bad thing.
Like, I know when I was in a recent D&D campaign, my character died. My friend was like, well, it's too early for that to happen. I didn't plan that crit from the boss. So we're going to do some BS stuff and bring you back to life. Like, okay. One hand is great because it continues the story, but at the same time, it's like plot armor.
Yeah. And now it's like, now any battle, you're like, you're no longer afraid of dying, because you're like, someone will save me. But when you have that, like later, I had like the fear of my other companions dying, and I would like fight to protect them. And I like have this deep emotional drive to make sure that doesn't happen again. Because I think in many ways, like entertainment and these kind of experiences are about making people feel emotions, right? And make them feel like loss, fear, excitement, mastery, challenge, like all these different, you know, wealth of human emotions. And so I think you can kind of like cheapen those emotions if you take the wrong approach.
So we've been talking a lot about the single player approach, but is there any way to make this either multiplayer or use this as a dungeon master? Like, people sit around AI dungeon, you're like, all right, DM this game.
Yeah. So AI dungeon does have multiplayer, and it's a fun way to experience it. I think it's harder to have multiplayer without the constraints and the like the structure around it. And that's where the new engine, I think the multiplayer is really, really fun, because what I tend to see is that with just, and I think this is one reason why you haven't seen a lot of like multiplayer AI experiences yet. Like, a lot of AI use is like single player right now. Because I think what happens with multiple people is it's like you just kind of like diverge, you know, it's like, well, I'll do this funny thing and you'll do that funny thing. And there's just like, it doesn't really like go in a cohesive direction. But then when you have the right constraints where you can't do impossible things, and actually if you do the crazy thing, like, you might have a negative consequence, right? Like, if you jump, and you know, if you jump on the like the king's desk and like dance around, he might throw you in the prison. Like, right now, because you have those, it kind of like keeps you and your friends in this space of like, okay, we've got to actually be smart. We can't just be like silly and stupid. And then you end up having a really compelling and interesting story. So there's kind of this like subtle kind of game design of like, how do you get that? And then I think the next part that we haven't built yet, but we want to in the long term, is like, how do you go from like single player to four player, like multiplayer, something we've proven well. The next is, how do you like not just have a world where you can have four people together, but you can have many people all kind of interacting in a dynamic, like changing world that is living because it can be changed with AI, right? Because if you think about games like MMOs, like World of Warcraft, you can have many players in the world, but like the world doesn't really change. It's kind of fixed because the developers can only make one set of content. But when you have AI, the AI can create content on the fly and dynamically change the world. So you can have kind of these living worlds that are evolving over time. Just like you might with, you know, like Minecraft on a physical layer, people are changing the world over time. I think with AI, you can have that happen on like a social, cultural, like world layer, where actually like the characters and the kingdoms and the, you know, whatever are dynamically evolving in a world with many people kind of in that shared living space.
Well, that sounds super cool. I can imagine fun LAN parties of people just seeing what happens when you try and change dynamic work.
Yeah.
You need to be competitive. How can I screw over my friend sitting next to me?
Totally.
So since gaming is a very creative industry, I'm curious, are there any creative limitations to AI that you have to work around, such as limits with the models or this lack of artists and things like that? And how do you embrace these limitations instead of feeling limited by them?
Yeah. So I think there's a couple limitations of AI. Number one is that it's creative, but it's not creative. And what I mean by that is, like, it can be very creative in the way it combines, like, a given request or a given set of things. But most AI models have very low variation. So, like, if you ask it for 5 stories about a character in the woods, like, you actually see, like, those 5 stories are all, like, quite similar to each other and have a lot of, like, shared elements. And that's a problem we run into, because it's, like, if every dwarf you meet is, like, a gruff miner whose clan got eaten by goblins, it gets a little old after a while, right? Like, you need higher variation. And so one of the ways we get around that is a technique we call creative seeding. So basically the idea is, like, humans are actually this way a bit too. Like, if you just write the generic thing without using any of your life experience to inform it, you probably will create something a little cliche. The most unique works that people do are inspired by something in their life. So, like, you look at, you know, the creative Pokemon, like, he did a ton of bug catching as a kid, where he'd run around with a net and, like, capture bugs. And that, like, inspired him to create Pokemon, which is, like, this very unique type of experience. So it's kind of, like, unique things kind of, like, lead to unique creative output. And so we use that technique when we prompt models. We'll have 100 elements and randomly select 5 from this, like, big list of creative seeds. And then the 5 out of 100, like, combination mean that there's, like, much higher variety in that set of things we feed in and much higher variety in the output. So that's one of the limitations that we experience, and then how we get around it.
Well, that's super cool, though. It's kind of owning what it is.
Yeah.
Essentially. And yeah, now I really got to go back and play more of this, because now I'm curious about how weird I can make it. So you've alluded to a bit of what's next. Can you maybe spoil about future versions of this game, or maybe even future games that you have in mind or want to work on?
Yeah, so we have some dev blogs on it. So it's, like, we have shared some of what we're going towards. But essentially, you know, I think AI Dungeon was always, like, a seed of a promise, but it wasn't the full fulfillment of that promise yet. It was the seed of an idea that you could play a world where you can truly, like, be whoever you want to be and choose whatever you want to choose. And those choices will have, like, real consequences and create, like, a rich, interesting story of how you move through the world. But I think, you know, there are a lot of things that are lacking in that, like, back and forth of the LM approach. Like I mentioned, there's kind of, like, the persistent world, because if you make some compelling choice and it's, like, in this town and you leave and come back 1,000 actions later and, like, the town's no longer there, the AI forgot everything about it, it's, like, did your choice really matter, right? And then I think also when you can just say, like, oh, they come back to life, or, like, oh, I fly to the moon, it's, like, your choices don't have consequences and they don't really matter as much in the world. So anyway, so it's, in our next engine, we're taking that, like, core of interactive story that's, like, magic with AI Dungeon, and we're adding around it a rich set of, like, gameplay mechanics that give challenge and progression and, like, loss and all these things that make games much, much richer. We're adding visual elements where you'll have, like, visuals for characters and, like, potentially items and locations. You'll have a rich structure of a world. So there's a map of, like, where you are and the different locations you can explore. There's characters who are, like, not just representing the LM, but have their own kind of, like, structure and character sheet and are making their own decisions. And all of that is interacting together to create a compelling, deep, like, experience and story based on your actions.
That sounds really cool. Like, you're just generating a completely unique world from the beginning. And I don't know why it made me think of Evoland, the game. It kind of start off as, like, super 8-bit, like, Atari-esque, and then you gradually become more and more immersive and modern. And it seems like there's the possibility there for you know, self-learning and replicating to a degree that you can just make an increasingly unique world.
Yeah, I mean, I think the analogy is interesting because, you know, I think it's a lot of innovator's dilemma. If for people who don't know, the innovator's dilemma is basically this concept of like, why do companies who are very good at a set of technologies and problems struggle when a new innovation comes along? Why are they not the ones that take advantage of the innovation? And why is it usually someone else? So a good example is like, look at like cameras, right? When digital cameras came out, the existing companies just kind of like poo-pooed them and were like, ah, they're like, you know, they're not very good. And usually it was actually like the digital camera companies that did way better. And the reason why is often they start at a lower fidelity. They start kind of janky. Usually they're really good on a couple of new dimensions that are interesting, but really bad at everything else. But you have to look not at the point in time, but where they're going in the trend line. And that's kind of AI in games. Like AI Dungeon is that early point of like, it's kind of janky and it's like only text, but it's going to progress this curve up to be have the same paradigms applied to like a 3D Skyrim like world. So that's very much like the journey we're following as a company is like following that path of taking things from like that very early era all the way up to the generative version of Skyrim as kind of the long-term direction.
I would love generative Skyrim. I think a few games have tried, but were still pretty limited, but that was also,
I guess,
free AI to a degree. So I would definitely be interested in seeing how weird I can make the world.
Yeah, totally.
So we've talked a lot about your game, but I know that there are a lot of companies who are using AI to enhance or change what they're doing. So in the future, how do you see maybe anything from indie devs to AAA devs using AI, hopefully in a positive way?
Yeah. So I think some of the things that are cool are the ability to enable people who couldn't have made a game before to make a game, right? So you see this like the vibe coding space where it's like these people who don't really have the coding ability to like make a game, now suddenly like they can create something cool and fun. I think that's a really fun process. Like I've seen my nephew do this and like he just lights up at like, wow, like I made this game. Like I think that act of creation is really fun and compelling. I think where I'm really interested is in seeing how it enables like richer characters. It's interesting. There's a game that's coming out or maybe just came out called Whispers from the Stars. And it's kind of like this astronaut who's like crash landed on a thing and you have to like talk with her on help her solve her problem. So it kind of like deals with the kind of like limitations of AI and kind of creates this like experience where you're interacting with this character and building kind of a connection with her as you like see her and help her like deal with like the issues she's facing. And I think there's a lot just in, you know, I think there are a lot of really cool platforms that people are working on of like how to make like really cool 2D AI powered games or how to make, I think what the other thing I'm most excited about is like games that have new mechanics that are really interesting. You know, there's a game, what was it called? I'm blanking on the name, but it's like you combine a bunch of elements together and the AI dynamically decides like, if you mix A with B, like what's the result? And you can kind of like discover new recipes and new combinations and like, and it's kind of this like exploration of like merging concepts and ideas together to get new ones. And like a puzzle of like, how can I create this real, you know, how can I create Homer Simpson from like a rock, a stick and like, you know, a leaf. And you just like combine things together enough. And eventually you can kind of like get these like high level concepts out of lower level concepts. So that's kind of a fun mechanic as well.
So since we've been talking a lot about using AI in games, have you had any ethical concerns come up, whether internally or maybe from the user base about using AI, such as through data sets, the dilemma of job creation, et cetera?
Yeah, for us, we haven't had a lot of people bring up the job aspect. I think, again, because in our case, we're creating something new that couldn't have been possible before. So we're not really like replacing humans on anything they're doing. If anything, we're just creating new interesting opportunities for humans to like, because we hire a lot of people to help build systems and to help like design how this like AI engine works. I think one of the things that is interesting is like, you know, when you have this world of like a game that can do anything or you can do anything with AI, there's a question of like, okay, what does anything mean? And where do you like draw limits and boundaries? And so that's something we've spent a lot of time thinking about, of like, we want to give people creative freedom of expression, but then we also want to make sure like there are healthy kind of like boundaries and good aspects around that. So that's something we're constantly kind of like iterating on, how to find the right way to let people safely explore and have that freedom in a way that that is good.
No, that's good. I know. I mean, obviously, there's always a lot of ethical concerns with AI in any media, but it sounds like this is completely its own thing. So you're not really taking away from any games.
Yeah.
So I think it was one of the Grand Theft Auto games that admitted to using generative AI, and that didn't fly with some people. I think that's where I would definitely not be a fan of AI, because at that point, you are taking something away. But your game is its own thing. It is AI. The product is the model, essentially.
I do think that, you know, the one point I will make in favor of some of those companies, I think the thing to be careful on is like, if quality goes down because it's AI, then I think there's a miss there. But I think if instead of just like replacing humans, it's like, okay, can we use the same humans to do more? To kind of like a tool, right? I think like amplify them to create more and better work than they would have done before. I think that's where there's like a win-win for, you know, community and creators and everyone. Mm-hmm. We're able to explore more ideas. We're able to create more content. And if we can do that at the same kind of quality level because we have humans involved, I think you can do really interesting things there.
Yeah. I think a lot of these games are just more advanced than the AI is. So the quality level might be pretty noticeable. Maybe when, but like your game is, it's not a AAA huge graphics thing, so you don't really have to worry about that. But, you know, if Elder Scrolls 6 tries to use a generative program with modern graphics, might not sync up perfectly.
Yeah, yeah.
So one of, you know, and you and I have both talked about this, about loving creative freedom. So what do you think is the future of AI giving more agency to people, whether through AI, maybe through modding or anything like that? Do you think that's maybe the next level we're going at?
Yeah. Do you mean like agency in kind of a gaming context, or just like as people in the world?
In a gaming context, because I know a lot of people like straightforward narratives. I just played Expedition 33. I love the entire ride, hook me on. But then there are things like Skyrim where, sure, I do like to explore and see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the advantages fundamentally is like, the way I sometimes think about it is, it's almost like when you're making a generative AI game engine, you're like building a little mini AI studio, a mini AI game studio that's kind of like making the game on the fly for the user, right? So to the degree that that's valuable for certain types of games, I think the things that lets us you do is, one, it lets you kind of create content based on what the player has expressed as like what they're interested in, right? So in like ours, if you want to have a cozy experience where you're just like a little farming simulator in a town, like you can, because the AI will be like, oh, great. Like, you want to go the farming direction? Like, great. I will just generate content in that direction, right? And that's harder to do with if you have to create it all in advance, because you don't know what each player is going to want and what they're going to, you know, experience. So I think that's one of them. I think the agency. And then I think the other is like creators. So I think that, the three pieces are like agency, personalization, and then like creative expression. Because if you have this kind of like engine, you can create in it in a way that in ways that you can't before. So it's like an AI engine. It's like I can not just be an adventurer, but I can like create a band, right? And then I can like create lyrics for my music, and I can like share that with people in the game, and I can, you know, I could create a city, I could, you know, there's all these things I could create, and I can create the whole world and share that with my friends. So I think those are the three things that kind of like are valuable. I agree, there's some types of games where those three things aren't as important, right? Like if you just want a linear story, I'm not sure that AI will do better at, like, I don't think it'll do better at getting a linear story. But I think in other types of experiences where you want that creative expression, where you want that like freedom to choose, where there's value in that kind of like personalized experience for you, I think that's where AI can unlock some really new, interesting experiences that weren't possible before.
Yeah, I think it'll be really cool to see those evolve. And I think it's really just a matter of time until we do get those experiences coming out.
Yeah.
So, any closing comments for you or anything that I might have missed that you wanted to talk about here?
No, I just think, I think AI and gaming is an interesting space. I think if you look at the history of media, we kind of like the earliest was we had like books and some art, and then later we kind of developed movies. And then I think games have really been like the last kind of like form of media to develop, just because they required computers, like video games, and much more complexity. And I think we're going to see a similar kind of path with AI. Like, we saw AI take off with kind of like text and then images, and now like video is the thing that's like really developing. And I think we're still really early days because games are such a much more technically complex thing to make. But I think over the next 5 to 10 years, you're going to see AI games really take off, just as we saw happen with other types of media. So I think there's a lot of exciting things to see and a lot of opportunities to drive value for players. So I think if there are people who are excited about that, you know, feel free to connect with us, and we're constantly kind of like growing our team. But I think it's an exciting space to be.
Cool. So on that, how can we stay in touch with you, with Latitude, AI Dungeon, all of that?
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter. You know, I'm always happy to connect with people. And our you can try AI Dungeon. Just go to AIDungeon.com and check it out if you haven't. So it's a fun experience.
Cool. I will link everything in the show notes for this. And with that, I think that's everything. Thank you so much, Nick. This was really cool. I am definitely going to go play more of AI Dungeon, I think, and I'll see what's next for you and Latitude.
Yeah, thanks. It's been great to talk.
All right. Thank you. Bye now. Your engagement directly contributes to the growth and success of our community. Please subscribe now and don't miss out on the next enlightening episode. This episode is sponsored by ODSC West, the premier AI Builders Conference celebrating its 10th year this October 28th to 30th in San Francisco and virtually. Learn more at odsc.com/California and use the code PODCAST for an exclusive 10% discount. Supporting our podcast by subscribing not only helps our small dedicated team at ODSC, but also unlocks exclusive benefits for you.